Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And coming up in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we hear Lucille Ball and Richard Denning, and My Favorite Husband from 1948. But right now, it's the Aldrich Family, one of the earliest surviving broadcasts from the series, from the NBC Blue Network from October 17th, 1939.
Family, starring Ezra Stone, written by Clifford Goldsmith, brought to you by Jell-O Puddings, those delicious new desserts all America's talking about. The Aldrich Family can be seen now in the current Paramount picture, What a Life. Don't miss it. And tonight, Betty Field, one of the stars of the picture, plays Barbara Pearson, Henry's current girlfriend. As usual on the air, the part of Henry Aldrich is played by Ezra Stone. In the living room of the Aldrich home, Mr. and Mrs. Aldrich are talking. Henry is just coming in through the hall door.
Well, Sam, remember how worried we were a week ago?
Over Henry.
Over Henry. And that terrible Constance Marshall.
Who's he interested in this week?
He's coming back to Barbara Pearson.
Mother?
Yes, Henry?
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are you sure you won't mind if I ask him?
Well, no.
Could I have $3?
We're off.
Could I, please?
What for?
Well, I've got to get something, Mother, before it's gone.
Can't you tell me what it is?
Well, you'll just think it's foolish.
Then I'm afraid, dear, you cannot have the $3.
You mean you don't trust me?
And would you mind not standing directly in my light, Henry?
Oh, I'm sorry, Father.
Why don't you ask your father for it?
I know he wouldn't give it to me. Would you, Father? Would you?
Oh, would I what?
Well, I'll tell you, this is all I want. This is all there is to it. Practically every guy I know that's got a girl has given her something to wear.
Henry, you mean the boys give their things to wear nowadays?
Oh, sure. It may sound a little strange, but... I mean things like class pins. Only my class hasn't got a pin.
Well, I thought you did give Barbara some kind of a pin.
I did, Mother, but she isn't crazy about it.
Why not?
Well, in the first place, all it says on it is vote the Democratic ticket. Would you like it if that was all somebody could afford to give you?
But the important thing is the sentiment behind it.
I know it. That's the trouble. Her father's a Republican.
A Republican?
Yeah.
Then I think you'd better stay away from their house in the future, Henry.
Father, this is no time to joke. Here's the position I'm in. I told Barbara, in fact, I practically promised her I'd give her a pin. You know, the one I saw downtown in a jewelry store.
Henry, dear, knowing Barbara Pearson as I do, I don't believe that what you give her is even slightly important.
But gee whiz, I thought you wanted me to take an interest in Barbara Pearson. I even promised her I'd never go inside Constance Marshall's house again. Wouldn't you like to encourage me?
Henry, you may not under any circumstances have any money.
I'm not asking for money, Mother.
You're not.
I've given that up.
When did you give it up?
Just now. This is all I want. Now, don't fly off the handle, Father. It isn't as bad as it's going to sound at first. You know that gold Phi Beta Kappa key you wear on your watch chain?
I do.
Well, do you wear that quite a little?
You mean to say you're going to ask me for it?
Well, don't you ever get tired of it and wish you could wear something else now and then?
In other words, you want to give Barbara Pearson my Phi Beta Kappa key.
You feel that strong about it?
Well, after all...
Well, I'm just suggesting you loan it to her, Father. And you can go back to the vote the Democratic ticket pin.
Hi, Henry. Mind if I come in?
Come on in, Dizzy.
I want to speak to you alone, Henry.
Good evening, Dizzy.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Aldrich.
Good evening, Dizzy.
Henry, I've got to speak to you alone.
What about?
Just something.
Can't you tell him here, Dizzy?
Oh, this is in strict confidence, Mrs. Aldrich.
Well, I'm trying to get a decision about something, Dizzy.
Henry, if I were you, I'd go out and see what Dizzy wants.
Okay.
Come on out here in the hall, Henry.
It's private?
Wait till I tell you. Can anyone hear through that door?
No.
What are you doing tomorrow evening?
Why?
Well, hold on to something. How would you like a blind date?
A blind date?
Sure.
Me?
She's a dream, Henry. You never saw a prettier girl in your life.
Have you seen her?
No, but my girl has.
But I've got a date tomorrow night with Barbara Pearson.
Listen, Henry, you can see Barbara anytime, but this girl... Why, she's visiting my girl only a few days.
Oh, I see. Well, you see, Dizzy, I just got one misunderstanding straightened out with
now,
Barbara.
Now, if you don't help me out, I'm sunk.
Henry, what are you and Dizzy talking about out there in the hall?
Oh, nothing, Mother.
We were just discussing a problem I have, Mrs. Aldridge.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll leave this door open. It's terribly close in the living room.
Well, let's go into the dining room. Don't you think you ought to get to know other girls? Do you want to stay in a rut?
That's what started the trouble I just got over.
Look, will this help? Supposing I get the girl on the telephone.
Why?
So you can sound her out.
No.
Then what can I do to convince her?
Well, have you got $3?
For what?
Well, just as a loan.
Listen, she's begging for a chance to meet you.
Meet me?
Sure.
Oh, how does she know about me?
If I remember correctly, she thinks she saw you on the street the other day.
Say, come to think... I wonder if she's the one I saw. Does she have a high black hat with a sort of a veil that...
Sure!
Is that right?
Who has a black hat and a veil?
Nobody, Father.
Well, would you mind talking so I either can hear you or so I can't?
Maybe we'd better go in the kitchen.
Okay.
Now do you see what's ahead of you, Henry?
The only thing
Let
is...
Let me call her up and ask her whether she's got a veil.
Do you have any way of raising $3, Dizzy?
I've got to pay you to meet a beautiful girl?
Well, I promised Barbara that when I see her tomorrow night, I'll have a pin for her.
All right, you wait. You wait. Just you wait until sometime you ask me to do something for you.
I'm sorry, Henry, but you'll both have to get out of this kitchen while I do some work here.
Where do we go now, Henry?
Let's go upstairs.
Your father just went upstairs, Henry.
Well, then let's go up...
We haven't been in the living room yet.
That's right. Come on, let's go in there.
Would you boys mind telling me what all this is about?
I'm trying to make Henry see the light, Mrs. Aldridge. Say, Henry, I've got an idea. I haven't got a pin you could give Barbara, but I've got a lady's ring.
Where'd you get it?
I found it. I found it in a trash pile.
Is it any good?
It's gold with a black stone and pearls.
And if I help you out tomorrow night, you'll give it to me?
Well, I won't give it to you, but I'll loan it to you. Say yes, Henry.
Well,
Shake and we'll make it a bargain.
No.
If I give you the ring outright, will you let me?
And I can tell Barbara to keep it?
Sure.
And it isn't going to cost me anything?
Not a cent. All we'll do is sit around in their house.
Something tells me, Dizzy, I shouldn't say yes.
And something tells you that you shouldn't say no, too, doesn't it? Remember that black hat with the veil?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hello, operator?
Number clear.
I want Elm 333. From now on, Henry, your lucky number is 3.
Are you calling 333?
Yes, ma'am. I wonder if she's doing anything tonight.
The only thing is, Dizzy, even if you do get this girl, you can't tell from her voice what she looks like.
Why not? All I've got to do is hear one word, and I can size up a girl in a minute.
Hello? Who is it?
Oh, what was that?
Who do you want?
Listen, if that's the girl you're trying to get for me, Dizzy, you can hang up.
Who is this speaking?
Hang up,
it's
Dizzy.
It's my girl's aunt.
Oh.
Henry, what is going on here?
Nothing, Father.
Hello, this is Dizzy. Are the girls in?
Both of the girls are out.
Out?
Ask her whether her friend, your girlfriend's friend has a veil.
Does your niece have a veil?
If she hasn't, I'd like to know why. That girl has more pretty clothes than anybody I've ever seen.
Is that right?
Mrs. Hopkins, you can tell her that we'll be all set for tomorrow.
Yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Hopkins. Goodbye.
You boys find the veil?
Well, only in a way we did, Father.
Henry, could you walk to the door with me?
Sure.
All I want to say, Henry, if you don't want to, I'll take it.
Oh, no, you don't. I saw her first, didn't I? When do I get that ring?
I'll get it for you by noon tomorrow.
Well, why not before then?
I've got to get it from my girl.
From your girl?
Sure, she's wearing it.
She's wearing it?
Yeah, night, Henry.
Hey, Dizzy. I wonder whether Barbara will mind if she finds that out.
Goodness, Barbara.
What's the matter, Grandmother?
What are you flying around so far?
This is the evening Henry's coming over.
Do you suppose he'll bring a box of candy? Where's the evening paper?
Right here.
Let me have the movie section.
Grandmother, will you promise me something?
Hmm? What's it?
that you won't embarrass me by asking him whether he ever sees any other girls.
Oh, my goodness, don't you think you ought to know?
It makes it look as though I were worried.
Well, if you aren't, you should be. Here's a picture I'd like to see.
All right, if I come in?
Hello, Henry.
I've only got a second, then I've got to be going.
So soon?
Hello, Henry.
Good evening, Mrs. Sanderson.
Did I hear you say, young man, you can't stay?
Well, something came up quite unexpectedly.
You don't say. How's Constance Marshall these days?
Oh, gee, haven't seen her for over a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to see Constance again.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll go out in the kitchen and make some candy.
The only reason why I have to go so soon is because I have an examination tomorrow, Barbara.
In what?
In geometry. By the way, I just happen to think I brought you something.
My section doesn't have any exam in geometry tomorrow.
You don't? I wonder how you could account for a thing like that.
I wonder.
Well, here's what I brought you.
What is it?
It's instead of a pin.
Henry, I hope you didn't go and get me something expensive.
Well, I just hope you'll like it.
Henry Aldrich, look at it. It's a ring.
Sure.
Oh, Henry, you shouldn't have bought anything like this.
Oh, I didn't pay much for it.
It's a little too large for that finger.
Well, try the next finger.
It's too large for that one.
Well, how about the next one?
It's still a little too big.
Do you suppose you could wear it on your thumb?
I know. I'll wear it on this chain around my neck.
Say, instead of making candy, why don't we all go to the movies?
Tonight?
There's a picture called Man Crazy that I want to see.
But, Mrs. Sanderson, I've got a geometry exam coming.
I think you've got your schedule mixed, Henry.
I'm sure I haven't. Dizzy has the same schedule I have.
Now, let me give you some advice, young man. I never studied geometry in my life. There isn't anything going on that I don't know about.
Well?
If it's money that's worrying you, the trick would be on me.
Oh, that isn't it. I've got...
Of course you want to go. Go get your coat on, Barbara, and we'll stop.
Grandmother, maybe Henry doesn't want to go.
Well... Of course, I might be able to.
Do you want to call your parents and ask them?
Oh, I don't think you need to.
No, if you want me to, I'll phone them.
Oh, no, you don't have to.
Now, who do you suppose that is? Stay where you are. I'll answer the door.
Do you think that you really could go with us, Henry?
Gee, I'd certainly like to, but if I don't get my studying done tonight, when will I?
Good evening, Mrs. Sanderson. Is Henry here?
He certainly is.
Is that you, Dizzy?
Hurry up, Henry. We're going to be late.
Late for where?
We'd planned to study together.
Study what?
Our geometry.
When?
Now, you dope. Over at my house.
Oh, yeah.
You don't say so.
Didn't I tell you it wasn't tonight that you'd have to study, Henry?
Well, whether it is or not, Dizzy, I think you'll have to study without me.
Huh? Could I have a little conference with you out in the hall?
Isn't necessary to talk it over.
You mean you won't even speak to me in private? Barbara, that's a nice ring you're wearing around your neck.
Yes, do you like it?
Let me see it.
It's gold.
Where did you get it?
Henry gave it to me.
Oh, is that right?
I'll go out in the hall with you, Dizzy.
Why don't we all stay here and study?
Well, I have to be alone when I study, Barbara.
That's why you got to be with Henry?
Are you sure you understand, Barbara?
Of course. If you tell me you have to study, you have to.
Sure.
It never occurred to me that I shouldn't understand.
Well... Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Don't study too late, boys.
Oh, we won't, Mrs. Sanderson. Hurry up, Henry. Connie's been waiting for us for 20 minutes.
Who has?
Constance Marshall. She's my girl now, you dope.
Since when?
Since you finished with her.
This is a fine time to tell me. I can't go over there. I promised Barbara I wouldn't see her anymore.
You're not seeing her. I'm seeing her. You just happen to be going over to her house.
No.
Do you want me to go back and ask Barbara for that ring?
I'd like to see you.
Oh, you don't think I'd do it, eh? I'll go right back into the house.
Wait, Dizzy, wait!
Are you going?
I'll stick by you. But something tells me I'm going to be sorry for as long as I live.
Henry and Dizzy are just going up the steps of Constance Marshall's house.
For some reason or other, Henry doesn't look very cheerful.
Here we are.
43 High Street. Didn't I tell you 3 is your lucky number?
Hello, Dizzy.
Hiya, Connie.
Why, Henry Aldrich, I thought Connie wasn't ever going to see you again.
Hiya, Connie.
He got lonesome.
I got lonesome.
Well, come on in.
Where's...
Oh, of course. Just a minute and I'll call her. Gwendolyn! Gwendolyn!
Is that her name?
What do you have?
Dizzy, I'm going home.
Well, if it isn't Henry himself. I
Gwen, you're just as cute as I thought you'd be.
Gwendolyn, that isn't Henry. That's Dizzy.
You mean this one here is Henry?
Yes.
Well.
I'm sorry.
What are you putting down your hat for, Henry?
Well, I thought we were going to stay.
Oh, my goodness. What can we do here?
We're going out.
Don't you like to go out at night, Henry?
Sure he does, don't you, Henry?
We want to go to the movies.
The movies?
Yeah. We want to see Man Crazy.
I know, but...
Come on, Gwendolyn. We'll get our things on.
I better wear my coat in case we get some ice cream afterwards.
Dizzy, I haven't got enough money to take them out.
You don't have to pay for all of us. Just for yourself and Gwendolyn.
I know, but I haven't even enough for that.
I'll loan you some.
Oh, you told me this wouldn't cost anything. And did you take a look at Gwendolyn? One helping of ice cream isn't going to be enough for her.
Henry, cheer up. 25 years from now, you'll be able to look back and laugh at this.
Sure, 25 years from now, but this is tonight.
Henry, you're beginning to make me sorry I brought you.
But Dizzy, she's not the girl I saw on the street. No wonder she wears a veil. What she should do is wear it in the house.
Now I am sorry.
Well, we're all ready, Dizzy.
Gwendolyn, you leave Dizzy alone. Henry is your property.
I'm her property?
That's what I'll call you, my prop. Come on, prop, let me take your arm.
The only thing is, I promised my folks I'd be in early.
But you don't belong to them anymore. You belong to me. Look at the moon, Henry.
Yeah.
And look at those 3 stars right up over us.
Yeah.
Henry, didn't I tell you 3 is your lucky number?
Yeah.
Let's go down this street.
Dizzy, tell Connie something. Why did you want me to give back that ring?
Well, I had to do a favor for somebody.
You didn't give it to any other girl, did you?
No.
Say, look, Constance, here on the corner.
What is it?
A soda fountain.
Yeah? And boy, do they serve terrible sodas in there.
Listen, these are good.
Look in the window there, Henry.
At what?
Those boxes of candy.
Well, don't you think we're going to be late for the first show?
Oh, we don't care whether we're late.
It looks like an awfully nice place inside.
Would you like to go in and get waves?
Say, you can't get me on any scales.
Well, why don't we stop here after the show?
I never like to eat anything just before I go to bed.
Come on, Henry. We might as well go in and get it over with.
Don't those roasted almonds smell good?
Don't they? Where shall we sit?
Let's take this table here by the candy counter.
Okay.
Good evening. What'll you have?
I'll have a chocolate marshmallow.
Same here.
Same here.
Yeah, make it 3 chocolate marshmallows and 1 glass of water.
Why, Henry, aren't you going to eat anything?
I'm in training.
Oh, isn't that too bad?
3 chocolate marshmallows and a glass of water.
Right. You ought to change your mind, Henry. They're good here.
Are they?
Why, Henry, what are you worrying about?
Worried? Worried? Who's worried?
Say, Dizzy, let's go down there to the end of the store and look at those magazines.
Why do we have to look at those?
Oh, please, Dizzy, Izzy.
Oh.
Why, I don't think you like me.
Well, I guess Connie and Henry are all alone.
I guess we are.
Yes, me. No sense going to a picture show if you don't take along something to eat.
Oh,
grandmother.
Henry, that's Barbara Pearson and her grandmother.
Constance, would you understand if I should go?
And leave me at the table all alone?
Well, Henry Ulrich.
Good evening, Mrs. Sanderson.
Henry. How's your geometry?
Constance, I guess you know Mrs. Sanderson and Barbara, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't you like to sit down here with us?
No, thank you, Henry Aldrich. I wouldn't even be slightly interested.
Oh, you wouldn't you, Barbara? What is that you've got on that chain?
That happens to be a ring, thank you.
That happens to be my ring, thank you. So that's why he asked me for it.
I didn't ask you for it.
You needn't explain, Henry Aldrich. Take your horrid ring.
But I don't want it. This whole thing is a mistake.
You take it or I'll throw it away.
Don't do anything foolish, young lady. That's gold.
What if it is? There.
Oh, my. Well, where did it go?
Henry Aldrich, I think you're contemptible.
Listen, Barbara, let me tell you.
No.
Aren't you going to introduce me to your friends, Henry?
Gwendolyn, please, go away.
And what's more, Henry Aldrich, I think you're the meanest person that ever drew the life of breath.
The life of breath? The life of breath.
Where did that ring go?
What do I care? I'm going home.
You're going to let a thing like this spoil the movies for you?
Yes.
A life of breath. A life of breath. Say, who does she think she is?
Well, what I want to know is who Dizzy thinks he is. giving my ring to that little snip.
Hardly. Here are your Sundays and here's your check.
Say, where is Dizzy?
When they came in, he left.
He left?
Yeah.
That'll be 45 cents. Would you like to pay for it now?
I'd like to, but I can't. This is a nice predicament. Yes, Mrs. Sanderson.
Oh, you're the last person in the world I expected to see tonight.
If Barbara hasn't gone to bed yet, could you tell her I'm here, please?
Well, I'll call her, but I don't think it'll do any good. Barbara? Barbara? She probably heard you.
Yes, Grandmother?
Come here a minute.
Where are you?
I'm in the front hall.
Well?
Hello, Barbara.
Oh.
All I want to do is... let's tell you exactly what happened.
I know what happened.
Oh, but you don't.
Come on in out of the cold, Henry.
I don't think I better come in.
Come in. I won't let her hurt you.
Yes, ma'am.
No matter what you say, Henry, it won't do a bit of good.
Well, the only reason I didn't stay here with you in the first place, Barbara, was because I had a blind date, and I...
blind date?
Oh, wait, you've only heard the beginning.
That's all I want to hear.
Well, you've got to hear it all. That ring I gave you didn't even belong to me.
A beautiful sentiment, to say the least.
But wait. Now, wait a minute. It didn't belong to any girl. It belonged to Dizzy. He found it.
Where?
In a trash pile.
A trash pile. And that's what I was wearing around my neck?
Yeah, but I still haven't finished.
Well, from the progress you're making, young man, it may be just as well if you don't finish.
And if you'll excuse me, I'm going upstairs.
You don't want to hear the rest?
Of course I don't.
Gee whiz.
Oh, Henry Aldridge, you're a genius.
But she's so unreasonable. She won't even listen to me. Mrs. Sanderson, what would you do in a case like this?
You want me to tell you what I'd do?
Yeah.
Well, I'd stop trying to make things up, and I'd tell her what really did happen.
That's what I've been doing.
If that's the truth, then I'd start in with something she could believe.
You mean I should lie to her?
No, I'm not saying you should lie to her. But in this case, I certainly wouldn't tell her any more of the truth.
What should I do?
Ah, let me tell you something, young man. And if you'll remember it, it's going to help you just as much as geometry ever will.
What is it?
No woman is going to believe what you want her to.
Oh, what is she going to believe?
What she wants to.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. At least that's the way it is with every woman I've ever known. And when I call Barbara down here again... don't try to push her into believing what you think she should think.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd rather not see her again.
Now you wait where you are. Barbara? Barbara!
There's no use in my trying anymore.
Has Henry gone, Grandmother?
What's that?
He has?
See what I mean? When I say they believe what they want to...
I hope I never see Henry Aldrich again for as long as I live.
You better be careful how you talk, young lady.
Up until this evening, I always thought he was the nicest boy I'd ever known, and then...
Hello.
Didn't I tell you to be careful?
You've got to listen, Barbara.
No.
But that wasn't really Dizzy's ring.
Now we have a new story.
But it wasn't really his.
Whose was it?
Well, that's something I can't tell you. I asked my mother...
It didn't ever belong to your mother, did it?
My mother?
Yes.
No.
Henry, it did. Why didn't you admit it in the first place?
Well, because I didn't want to...
Young man?
What?
Don't make up any more stories.
He's not making this up, Grandmother.
How do you know?
Because, Henry, if it did belong to your mother, I'm sorry I threw the ring away.
You are?
Of course I am.
Well, here it is.
Grandmother.
If you'll excuse me, I think I'll go up to bed.
I hope you sleep well, Mrs. Anderson.
Thank you.
By the way, Henry Aldrich, the story's all right as far as it goes. Well, what were you doing, Constance Marshall?
With Constance Marshall? Do you want to know the truth?
Of course I do.
Well, that's easy to explain. We started out and...
You what?
Well, my father wanted me to study my geometry.
But you went to the soda fountain instead?
Well...
And that was where you ran into Constance?
Yeah.
Henry.
Sure.
Doesn't that just go to show you what a person's imagination can do?
I'll say.
Are you sure you didn't make that up about your father wanting you to study?
No.
You're positive? Because the whole thing sounds so simple, Henry.
Henry?
Yes, Mrs. Sanderson?
Your father just phoned. He wants you to come right home and do your geometry.
He does? Well, what do you know about that?
Don't ever tell me anything but the truth again, Henry.
I'll say I won't.
Wants to know whether you would like to take a friend of hers to a Halloween party next week.
Did she say what the girl is like?
No, except she seemed to think you'd like her.
Well, okay, sure. I'd be glad to do anything for Mary.
Who is it he's going to take?
I think her name is Gwendolyn something.
Well, that looks as though Henry is in for something. Be sure to listen in next week for further adventures of Henry Aldrich. The Aldrich Family, starring Ezra Stone, is written by Clifford Goldsmith. Our special guest tonight was Betty Field, star of the stage and screenplay, What a Life. Original music is composed and conducted by Jack Miller. Harry Von Zell speaking and wishing you good night for those delicious new desserts all America's talking about. Jell-O pudding. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Aldrich Family, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 17, 1939, an NBC Blue Network broadcast. You may not have realized that the Aldrich Family was actually based on a play called What a Life, where Ezra Stone played the part of Henry Aldrich for 538 performances on the Great White Way, and it was turned into a film in 1939 with Jackie Cooper starring as Henry Aldrich. The movie came out in theaters 2 weeks before the broadcast we just heard. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now Lucille Ball and Richard Denning appear in My Favorite Husband. From November 27th, 1948, we'll get into this Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast called The New Neighbors.
Well, my goodness, that must be the lady who's going to live next door.
Now, Liz, please, don't be so nosy.
There goes their living room couch. It's not so hot.
It's just plain spying. You don't catch me doing anything like that.
Ooh, there goes a lot of fishing equipment.
Hand me those glasses.
I knew that would get you. Here.
Yeah, there goes a shotgun. And a big leather chair, probably for the den.
You know, George, now that I see you doing it, it does look awful. I'm not going to spy on them anymore.
Must have money, too. There goes a beautiful mink coat.
Hand me those glasses. That's the kind of mink that lays eggs at Easter.
Now, Liz, we've got to stop peeking at them from behind curtains.
You're right, George. I'll go over and peek at them in person.
No. Oh, honey, I know you like to be neighborly, but sometimes you carry it too far.
I do not. When the Crawfords lived there, they didn't complain that I was running over all the time, did they?
No, they took the easy way out. They moved.
Oh, George. Oh, look, there's Corey.
I wonder what he's doing here so early.
Maybe he's just getting home. He's probably been up all night dancing as usual.
Oh, hello, Corey.
Hi, George.
Oh, Corey, what are you doing up so early?
I came over to talk to George. What time is it?
8 o'clock.
No.
Yes, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, is there an 8 o'clock in the morning, too?
He's in much worse shape than I thought.
What's in your mind, Corey?
Well, I came over to congratulate you, George. You're about to become a mother.
A mother?
What am I going to do, become a father?
This is a great break for you, George. Starting tomorrow, you're going to be responsible for 130 children.
Over my dead body.
Well, this way, Liz. My mother's club is setting up a trust fund for an orphan's home they run, and I've suggested George for the trustee. Means a big account for your bank, George.
Oh, that's swell of you, Corey.
You just have to be passed on by Mr. Brennan, the head of the home, but that'll be no problem.
Well, you better run along to the bank. Kiss me goodbye, Mother. By the time you get home, I'll know all about the people next door.
Liz, I want you to promise me you won't go over there today. Now, we'll get to know them soon enough.
Well, all right, I promise. We never can have any fun around here.
Goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye, Corey. Goodbye, Shorty.
What do you mean, Shorty?
Oh, I was looking at you through the wrong end of the binoculars. Bye, George. Mrs. Cougat, aren't you afraid the new neighbors may get suspicious and realize we're looking at them?
Oh, why should they? We're just doing our cleaning.
Yeah, but we've been washing these same two windows all afternoon.
Katie, you're right. We'll stop this minute. We're being completely unladylike and unneighborly. And besides, the moving van just left.
Oh, my, they carried in a lot of junk, didn't they?
I've been watching them move furniture for nigh under 30 years, and I've never seen such choice, ripe junk.
With women who know junk best, it's Mrs. Cougat, 2-1.
Oh, I'd love to find out what she's like, Katie.
Oh, so would I.
Of course, I promised George I wouldn't. But you know, she might be lonely.
Do you think so?
Yes. She'll get to brooding and wonder why her neighbors haven't come to see her. She'll feel she isn't welcome and become moody and depressed and despondent. Finally, she'll shut all the windows and turn on the gas. Goodbye, Katie.
Well, where are you going?
Next door. If I hurry, I may be able to save her life.
Mrs. Cougat, I think it was real sweet of you to drop over like this.
Well, I thought it was a neighborly thing to do.
I do, too. Usually, when you move into a new neighborhood, the people don't come over at all. They just stand behind their curtains and spy.
No.
Yes.
Why, the old snoops.
Mrs. Cougat, after we get settled, maybe you'd be good enough to find me some help. You certainly have two wonderful maids.
Two?
Yes, and are they thorough? They spent the whole day cleaning the same two windows.
Well, we have just one maid, Katie. I'm letting the other one go. The red-haired one with the nice figure.
Oh? Well, then maybe I could get her to work for me.
No. No, you wouldn't like her. She's too inquisitive. Got her big nose and everything. That's why I'm firing her. I can't stand that in a person.
Neither can I. Oh, dear, the movers left that Chinese chest in the living room. I wanted it in the main hall.
I wondered where you were going to use that.
What?
I mean, it's wonderful. Don't ever lose that. Well, I'll run along. If there's anything I can do for you, now you let me know.
Well, there is one little favor, if it wouldn't be imposing.
Of course not. What is it?
Could you take care of my little Stevie for this afternoon?
Why, of course. I adore children. I'll take him to a movie.
I don't think you'd be very popular. He's only 4 months old.
4 months? Oh, well, then I guess a movie is out of the question. He couldn't chew the popcorn.
Well, it won't be for long. I just have to get one carload of things from my old house. I'll leave the key in case you need anything. Oh, you know how to feed a baby, don't you?
Now, don't you worry. If you're late getting home, he can eat with us. I'll just tell Katie to throw on another pork chop. Stevie, now you sit right here until Liz decides what to do with you.
I guess.
Well, sit up. Why do you keep falling over all the time? All right, I'll hold you. There. I'm pretty good with babies. How would you like to have me for a mother, huh?
Yeah.
You don't have to get nasty about it.
Oh, Mrs. Cougat.
What is it, Katie?
Mr. Cougat just pulled into the driveway. He's home early.
Oh, darn it. I thought I'd have the baby back by the time he came home. Here, take him in the other room.
All right. Come on, baby.
Hi, Liz. I'm home early.
No.
Yeah. That fellow from Corey's orphanage couldn't make it this afternoon. He was moving or something.
That's good. Let's go for a walk, dear.
No, I'd rather just relax. Well, what happened around here today, Liz? What's new?
Oh, nothing. What's new with you?
Nothing. Liz, what's that crying?
What crying?
That crying.
What's new with you?
Liz, I distinctly heard a baby crying.
No, George. I did that.
Oh, now, wait a minute. What do you take me for?
For better or for worse, George.
I don't mean that. Liz, there's a baby in that den. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. It is a baby.
Give that man a box of diapers.
Whose baby is this?
You wouldn't believe it's mine, would you?
No.
Princess Elizabeth?
No!
Well, I guess that is pretty wild.
What kind of a dope do you think I am, anyway? Now, I want to know where this child came from, and I want the truth.
All right, George.
I'm waiting.
I'm thinking. Oh, what's the use? Might as well tell you. I went over to call on the new neighbors.
Liz, you didn't.
All right, I didn't. Now I don't know where I got the baby.
So you got yourself involved already.
Well, if you hadn't come home so soon, you never would have known. Besides, it's only for a little while. His mother will pick him up any minute now. I'll get it. Here, talk to the baby for a minute. I'll be right back.
Talk to the baby, huh? Hello? What would you like to talk about? Oh, now, stop crying. If you stop crying, I'll make a funny face for you. Let's see. How's this one?
A prayer.
Pretty. Huh. Oh, now, don't cry again. Let's see. How would you like to listen to my wife? Let go of it. Well, hold it carefully. No, don't swing it. You might hit it on the table. Put up your duke.
That was the baby's mother on the phone, George.
Oh, well, I'd be glad to get rid of this kid. Is she coming right over?
No, she isn't. Her husband is out of town, and her car broke down, and she'll have to stay at their other house until tomorrow.
Oh, you mean we have to keep this little monster all night?
Oh, George, it's wonderful of you to suggest that. In the kitchen.
Oh, here you are. I got the baby bottles and things from next door.
Good. I wrote the baby's formula down on this memo pad. Let's see now. We'll need milk, baking powder, cheese, and lighter fluid.
What?
Oh, that's my shopping list.
Well, find that formula. The baby's upstairs screaming his head off.
Oh, here it is. 28 and 2.
28 and 2 what?
I can't remember whether it's 28 ounces of milk and 2 of water or 28 of water and 2 of milk.
But you do remember it was ounces.
Or was it quarts?
Oh, fine. Now what'll we do?
Well, let's compromise. We'll make it 15 of each.
Yeah, but it might not be good for him.
Well, she talks so fast. She did say something about cereal.
Yeah, that sounds better. I've heard of babies eating cereal.
Now, which kind do you think he'll like best? Cornflakes or post-toasty? Oh, here's a good one. Grape nuts.
Ah, that's a little rough, isn't it? Maybe it should be cooked.
Oh, don't be silly. You can't cook grape nuts. Here's some cream of wheat.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't bother. Here's a bottle of stuff that's just made for babies. We'll give him a drink of this.
What is it?
Baby oil.
Baby oil? Oh, they don't drink baby oil.
They don't?
Of course not. That's to fry the cereal in.
How'd you expect me to know? Hey, there's some canned baby food in that stuff I brought over.
Oh, good. We can't go wrong with that. It's made for babies. Here, open the can of carrots. Oh, it's spoiled. I'll have to throw it out.
Oh, what's the matter with it?
Oh, it's all mushy and squishy. Give me another can.
No, here's a can of beets.
That ought to be good. How do you like that? This one's spoiled, too, just like the other one.
Gee, it's a lucky thing you noticed it. The kid sure would have been sick.
Well, we'll just stick to the formula. Milk never hurt anyone.
Okay.
Oh, but we'll have to have a nipple for this bottle. Did you bring any?
I didn't see any.
Well, how are we going to... Get me the scissors, George, and hand me that pair of rubber gloves. I'll cut the fingers off.
Ms. Cougott, that baby is crying something awful.
I know it, Katie. We're having a terrible time trying to fix his food for him.
Why didn't you call me? I know what to do.
Oh, Katie, you're a lifesaver.
Well, I'll fix it and give him this feeding.
This feeding? You mean there'll be more?
She means breakfast, George.
Oh.
Oh, no, I don't.
But a baby this age is too young to be up at night.
Oh, you'll find out. He'll probably eat every 4 hours all night long.
Oh, Katie, you're kidding. I'll bet he sleeps all night.
Oh, Liz, isn't that baby asleep yet? Almost midnight.
Can't understand it. I've fed him and walked the floor with him, rocked him, and he's still awake.
Well, why don't you try changing?
I did that, too. My thumb has more holes in it than a pincushion. Here, you take him for a while, George.
No. This is your party.
But, George, I'm so tired. Hey, wait a minute. He's asleep.
No.
Yes, sound asleep. I'll just put him down. Darn it.
I know how to put him to sleep. Rock-a-bye, baby.
Oh, George, would you?
Sure. Wait here. I'll go get a nice big rock.
Oh, no.
I was only kidding. Here, I'll take him for a little while.
Now, he won't hurt you, Stevie. George, tell him one of your after-dinner stories. They put anyone to sleep.
That's right. Insult me.
Well, say something to him. He won't understand what you say. He just likes to watch your Adam's apple bob up and down.
All right. Stevie, did you ever hear the story about the traveling salesman? Well, he knocked on the farmhouse door.
George!
Well, you said he wouldn't understand.
Well, now I'm not so sure. Oh, just walk him for a while, George, and I'll take over again.
Come on, Liz, it's your turn. I've been packing this soggy little bundle for 2 hours.
I didn't sleep a wink. Give him... Oh, George, I'm stupid.
You just finding that out?
No wonder the poor little fellow couldn't sleep. I forgot to burp him.
Burp?
Certainly. Come here, little fellow. Now, over my shoulder. There we go. A couple pats on the back ought to do it.
Cute. Oh, when he does it, it's cute. When I do it, it's vulgar.
Oh, look. His little eyes are closing.
Well, never mind his little eyes. How about his big mouth?
Oh, he's asleep already. Oh, well, we finally did it, George. What time is it?
Almost 4 o'clock.
Well, since he took so long getting to sleep, maybe he won't even remember his 4 o'clock feeding. Oh, that's not a baby. It's a time bomb.
Well, it's not his fault. He's hungry.
Well, if he's so hungry, let him get up and make himself a sandwich. He knows where the icebox is. All right, I'm coming.
Henry. Hooga. You're late, boy.
Sorry, Mr. Atterbury.
Have a party last night, boy?
No, no, sir. No, Liz and I were up all night with a baby.
Yeah, there's Liz. A baby? George, congratulations, boy.
Oh, but Mr. Atterbury...
Why didn't you tell me? Is it a boy or a girl, boy?
It's a boy, boy. Oh, but it isn't ours. We're just keeping it for the people next door.
Oh. George, that Mr. Brennan was here this morning about the orphan's home trusteeship. I don't think you're going to get it.
Because I was late?
No. He wants a family man for the job. He thinks he'll understand the problems better. However, I persuaded him to go out and see for himself what a lovely home life you have. I didn't tell him you have no children. He's on his way to your house now.
Well, I'd better go out and meet him.
Now, wait a minute. I have an idea, boy. Boy, what an idea. Is that baby still at your house?
Mr. Atterbury, I know what you're thinking, and I just couldn't do it.
Nonsense. He'll only come to your house once. You tell him the baby's yours, that's the end of it.
No.
Yes. I'll bust you to 8th vice president.
You wouldn't.
And I'll take your notary public stamp away.
I'll do it.
All right. Run along, boy. In the meantime, I'll call Liz and put her wise.
Yes?
Good morning. Is Mr. Cougar in? I'm Mr. Brennan from the orphan's home.
Oh, no, Mr. Cougar's not home, Mr. Brennan, but won't you come in?
Oh, thank you. You know, it's fantastic that you should live in this house. My wife and I just...
Oh, here comes George now. My, how he's rushing.
Oh, I thought I'd never make it.
Mr. Brennan?
Cougar, how do you do?
Won't you come in? Did Mr. Atterbury call you dear?
No. Why should Mr. Atterbury call me dear?
I mean...
No.
Oh, sit down, Mr. Brennan. How's the baby, darling?
Oh, do you have a baby?
No.
Yes.
Oh, you mean the one we just had last night?
You just had it last night?
Yes. It's 4 months old.
She's always joking. Great kitty, Liz. I'll get you a glass of water, Mr. Brennan.
No, don't bother. I'd like to see your child.
Oh, it's no bother. Come along, Liz. Help me get the water.
You can carry a glass of water.
Come on.
Yeah, but really, I don't want any water.
What's the matter? Have you gone crazy?
Listen, Brennan wants a family man for that job, and Atterbury insisted we tell him that baby is ours.
Oh, great.
Well, let's show it to him. Where is the baby?
I gave him back to his mother.
Oh, well, we'll run next door and get him. I'll tell Brennan you have to dress him or something. And hurry up.
All right. I'll take the shortcut through the backyard. Ow! Oh, I forgot that low branch. Oh, I thought that puddle dried up. Yeah?
Look, do me a big favor, will you? Lend me Stevie again just for a minute. I don't have time to explain.
Why, all right. Wait, he's right here. Say, you didn't see my husband, did you?
No, I wouldn't know him.
Funny, I thought I saw Mr. Brennan walking up the street before.
Brennan? From the orphan's home?
Yes, how did you know?
Well, I'll tell you later. Goodbye.
Look out for that nail on the door. It'll catch your dress.
I missed it. I gotta watch for that puddle. There, past it. Ow! Oh, right in the eye. Oh,
here comes Liz with the baby now.
Here he is.
Liz, what happened to you? You're sopping wet.
The baby.
And you've got a black eye and a bad bump on your head.
Well, he fights when I try to dress him.
Well, he must be a strong little rascal. Let me see him.
George, did you know Mr. Brennan is the man who moved next door yesterday?
What? I was going to save it for a surprise. That's a laugh, isn't it?
Ha ha.
Let me see the baby. Who does he look like?
You'd die if I told you. Here he is.
Why, this is amazing. This child looks very much like my little boy.
Oh, he does?
Yes. Wait here. I'm going home and get my little Stevie so we can compare the two. When I hold them up together, you'll think it's impossible.
I know it's impossible.
I'll be right back.
Now what?
Get that kid back before he gets there.
Oh, why didn't I put on my track shoes this morning? Come on, fellow traveler. Watch out for that branch. There. Jump the puddle. There. Here's the baby. Thanks. Seen your husband yet?
No.
Good. Goodbye.
Look out for that nail.
Oh! Oh, why doesn't she get that darn nail fixed if she knows it's there? Oh, that awful puddle. Oh!
Did you get there in time?
Yes.
Oh, here he comes now.
Where's the baby? Why didn't you bring him?
Yeah, why didn't you bring him? You know, when I got home and took a good look at him, I could see. They don't look alike at all.
My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, was produced for broadcast in the Frankfurt studios of the American Forces Network Europe by Air Force Sergeant Dave Schofield. Specialist Brad Scott speaking. Join us next time for My Favorite Husband.
My Favorite Husband, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 27th, 1948, first heard on CBS and later heard on Armed Forces Radio, the version we just enjoyed. And that wraps this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levionier. Thanks for tuning in.